time was one of the biggest things that I was after. And after 2 years of doing that, I figured out I really didn't get any further down the field because I didn't go anywhere. I was earning active income, but like I didn't have passive income.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Brandon Schwab has been 100% vertically integrated in the senior housing industry since 2014 with 7 locations and $20 million of real estate developed and operated. His mission is to change the senior living industry from big box to boutique. Speak today, Brandon, cozy homes. Brandon, hey, man, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm great, man. Pleasure's mine. There are 3 questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. Can you quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Well, I began a detail company when I was 15. So I opened up, my first business detailing cars, boats, and RVs because I thought cars were cool and particularly fancy cars. And when I detailed boats, I was exposed to boats, babes, boobs, and beer. And as soon as I was 18, I was heavily interested in all of those Bs. And then I figured out quickly that RVs help grow our business. And I did that company for 14 years. So I'm very dedicated to get things done. And as I'm on something, I typically do it till it's done. That's kind of the place I began. I was born on an Army base in Kentucky. So I get that you're down by Tennessee. So I was born on Fort Campbell. Dad passed when I was 2.5. He was a Army OH-58-8 chopper pilot. And we came back to Illinois when I was 5. My brother is 16, just months younger than me. He's currently the company president. So the two of us do things together, which is great. Family operated business. So fast forward back to the company. I did the boat detail business all the way through the 2008 crash, pretty much full time, kind of got our butt kicked during the 2008 crash because they quit selling RVs. And I was the first one to go because they paid me too much. And I was in 5 states for Camping World. So I was an easy person to cut. I began learning how to purchase properties. I began wholesaling properties back in 2010. Did 20 to 30 homes per year for 2 years. I earned a bunch of active income. But I found that after you got a deal done, I didn't change any place that I was at because I had active income, but I didn't really have time. Time was one of the biggest things that I was after. And after 2 years of doing that, I figured out I really didn't get any further down the field because I didn't go anywhere. I was earning active income, but I didn't have passive income. So in 2012, I started buying and holding properties because I was after passive income. You know, Fortune Builders tells you to go buy 10, 20, 30 homes, hold them for 30 years and everything's good. That's pretty much how they pitched it. And then I had some tenants, kids, clocks, and toilets, all 3 of them, a finished basement backed up with poop. Pretty much the thing that broke the camel's back. I said, I need to get in something else. You know, I'm sick of tenants. I found that I'm a terrible property to collect tenants payments. I found out when they have kids, I would tend to be able to believe anything they told me. So I didn't always get paid all the time. So I was terrible at that. And where I'm at kind of today now is in 2014, I got exposed to a cool business down in Florida. Kelly's dad is a 30-year chiropractor down in Florida. And after he was done doing his time doing that, he would play his piano at the old folks home 328 times per year. And if you would like to hear the same jokes over and over, he does them 328 times a year. They're painful as they get. And what happened was, is down in Florida, they typically build them up 10 floors, 12 floors. And have you ever been in a big 200 bed type building before? Okay. Well, if you have, or if anyone who is able to hear this has been in, you typically know one of the first things that kind of punches you in the face is the odor.
Right.
The odor's not so great, doesn't feel fantastic, and doesn't have a great atmosphere. So typically, all of us would go to these shows and he would play his piano and there were the same corny jokes. And I hated the atmosphere because I couldn't get that odor like off of me for days.
Right.
So we go down there in July of 14 and I pleaded with Kelly, please, I will clean. Whatever you need me to do, get me that I don't have to go. And Kelly gave me this look, which is her or else look, which I don't know if you have been able to experience that look, but it basically it means you're going to go or else some bad things could happen. You could be cut off. I don't know, but like those are all bad things. So I went, it was in July of 14 and we pulled up to a house, like a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, maybe like a 2,800 foot house that had houses close to it. Like I was like, text your dad, where the hell are we at? And I go in there and keep in mind at this time that like I had 23 homes, tenants in all of them, kind of thought I had it figured out. I co-founded in a club of investors. I helped teach 110 people each month how to invest and build property. Like I kind of felt I was accomplished and had it figured out, but I am feeling very dumb this day because I don't know what the hell I'm in. It's a single family home with 5 people in it. So I do what any person would do is I would cross my arms and I would just like try to think like, what is this place? And when I figured out that those people were paying $5,200 per month and that 5-bed home outperformed my whole portfolio of 23 homes 2 times each month, Sam, I said, I need to get into that business. And now a thing that's interesting is that in Florida, there's 1,800 of these homes, right?
Right.
California, there's 2,800. In Arizona, there's 3,000. The place that I'm from, there was 55. In all of Illinois, bro, there was 55. Don't tell anyone that. So if any person's able to hear that, don't come to Illinois. And that's kind of how I got into it. So fast forward to today, we opened up our first house back in 14. We opened it in 15. I filled it in 17. I had this 10-bedroom house in a town of 832 people. Not exactly a booming MSA to go build your first home, right?
No.
Get this. I bought the house for $250,000 with an option to buy. I put $550,000 into the house.
Okay.
Who does that, right? Put 2x into the house? Well, I knew that if I could do it how it ought to be done, that people would talk on it, right? So I put $550 into it. I had 3 ADA access points for people to go to the bathroom. I only just had to have the very first one. So I did all these things I didn't have to. Full commercial kitchen, full fire protection, all of it. Fast forward, the house opens, right? And I fill it. So I get 10 people paying $5,500 per month times 10, that's $55,000. Our expenses to operate it were $28,000 to $32,000. Now, I didn't have to be too bright to figure out that that's really, really good. And then a thing that happened is I wasn't going to do any more homes. The whole point to get into this business was to earn $10,000 per month passive income. That's it.
Right.
And bro, I doubled it. And I put every dollar past that 10 back into the company. And I did that for 4+ years. And I just opened up other homes. I opened, like, it grew. Fast forward to today, I've got 6 homes in Illinois. I've got Crystal Lake, Harvard, Gurnee, Bull Valley, Oregon, Dixon. And then I have a house on the East Coast, Clinton, Connecticut, which is crazy that I bought it, but that's kind of how it works. And I've got 7.2 acres of land that I was going to build on. And then COVID threw an interesting curveball at me. So I think you asked 3 good questions. I think I answered them. If I didn't, please tell me.
Yeah, that's really good. Hey, Brandon, you know, I've got some questions for you. You brought up so many things that I think are just absolutely fascinating. One, I love your story. I just want to say congrats for you for, you know, getting that look from your wife, because everyone's had that look. And you're absolutely right in that, my gosh, you just better get in line. So kudos to you for listening and then also seeing the opportunity and seizing on it. I think that's really cool. So, you know, hats off literally to you for doing that. That's really cool. You're talking about cash flow on this property. You're making 20 grand. Was that right? A month on the first facility. Okay. So 20 times 12 is $240,000 a year on an $800,000 investment. I don't know what that is, but that's really good, right? That's, I can't do the math in my head, but 30% roughly, or just a little under. What does your portfolio look like today? And then what's the next goal for you and why?
So COVID it had an interesting curveball to our overall business. It had pushed expenses up, and that did compress the profit during COVID. I had to increase prices to get it back up to the place that it's at. So during COVID, I had three houses that were fully operational during COVID. They were 100% occupied during COVID. The expenses did kind of jump up too. So our business has changed where I've got six houses today. Four of them have been open throughout 2021. I just opened up two homes. I got the license Tuesday this week. Okay. And so I've got two houses that just opened. Typically from like a 500 foot level, a 10 bed home can clear up to 20 grand per month. A 16 bed home could clear up to 35,000 per month. And then a 20 bed home is up to 50,000. So these houses are cash cows. These houses are an asset class that can be protected against any downturn, because after the 2008 crash, they were the top commercial asset class post 2008 crash, because people that have to have help, they have to have help and down. And it's typically older cash that's paying for it.
Right. That's really fascinating. I mean, it sounds like the number there is roughly $2,200 to $2,500 per bed is what you kind of would hit per month on a cash flow basis. Does that sound right?
Our typical profit margin's 38%.
Okay.
So we today have total beds that I have with the houses that are opening up. We've got 98 beds total. So the overall total portfolio, I mean, these things jam. I mean, if you were able to picture getting 10 people paying you $5,500, I mean, it's a high dollar business, but it also has high expenses. I mean, I have 24-hour caregivers there 24/7. They're getting $16 to $20 an hour. So I have a RN that's $40 an hour that just travels all day. I have an MD partner who's fantastic, who before this partnership, he does $3.5 million per year at his general practice, that he partnered up with us because I can help the people that he's able to do things to come out and get great care.
That's amazing. I mean, 38% return, that's wild. But what are some challenges or some things that, you know, prevent you from taking this from 98 to 598 beds? Why not just shoot for the moon?
One of the things I got taught this year is the team that got me to this point isn't the team that's going to get me to 10 to 20 beds. People on our team that were great people that have been with me for 3 to 4 years, I had to fire three of them this year just because they could not keep up with the expansion. And that was a challenge. And then I would tell you the biggest one afterwards would be access to capital to get deals done. I am opening our first fund quarter one of 2022 because I had a handful of deals under contract that I just couldn't close because I didn't have access to capital. And they were big cash flow deals that I could have doubled our portfolio literally overnight, that were up and operating cash flow that I could have bought at a 14% cap rate. We could add them to our portfolio. And what we could have done is we could have got cash out at an 8% cap rate. Like, those hurt on my heart, like that I didn't get it done. Like, and access to capital, I think having a fund for $25 million will help take care of that problem. This fund is launching January 1st, 2022, because I know that having access to capital, I can build 30 homes per MSA. And then I have an aim to do 10 MSAs with 30 homes in each. So total, we'd have 300 homes that would be able to help about 4,500 elderly. Like, that's our overall purpose, is to give the people that are being cared for the best opportunity to get awesome care.
You and I, we met actually earlier this week at a conference, which is fun to jump on a podcast call here on Friday. We met on Monday. But, you know, and what they talked about the conference was just solving, like seeing a problem and providing a solution to that. And if you can do those two things, then you have a viable business. And obviously a solution that people want. There may be problems that you could solve that nobody really cares if they're solved. That's why they're probably, you know, a lot of them are still undone. But if it's a problem that people want a solution to, then you've got a business. And so I love that idea of, you know, would you say 10 cities, 30 homes per city, 300 total homes, 4,500 beds. That's incredible. Where was I going to go with all of that though, besides just telling you, hey, that's really cool. I was going to ask you about, well, you said access to capital is one thing that you guys are working on, but what about, are there management and running the place? I know you talked about people that are on payroll, a $40 an hour nurse, people like that. I mean, are these direct hires? Are there property management companies that kind of third party this like you have in a multifamily, or what's that look like?
Now, here for our industry, in order to get to that top quality type care, you need to control all of that. So I do everything from being able to have the homes built to actually operating them on a day-to-day basis. Like, you truly have to actually care and have the heart to give the absolute best care. So the challenge I had this year was the team that I had did not build enough processes that could handle the expansion. And a thing that's great is as I opened up other homes, I had extra dollars allocated towards overhead that I could bring in an A team, like a fantastic team that you have to pay. I think our overhead is like $60,000 each month just for our overhead that I absolutely could not have hired when I only had two homes. So I just didn't have the cash. But as you have the A team, you can tackle these bigger challenges that back before were a huge, huge deal, really aren't as big of a deal anymore. But having to up the quality of our team to tackle these challenges as they come on. Plus, too, finding caregivers is one of the biggest challenges, because in this past year, our federal government basically paid people to don't go into work, which just put us into overtime. Like, you wouldn't believe. I had times where I had overtime at $20,000 a month. Like, it's hard to hit profit margins when your overtime's $20,000. Like, those are challenges that told me I had to change some things in our overall company. And those are good challenges. Those are good pains that you have to go through as you're building a company that anyone else who is going to try to get in is going to have to go figure all that out. Good luck.
Did you have a blueprint to any of this, or is this all just built on the fly?
Yeah. So I'm the guy that jumps out of the airplane and figures out how to put the parachute together as I'm falling down to earth, because I know that if you take action, you'll figure it out kind of as you go. And I also said, no, if you over kind of analyze things, there's oftentimes you won't ever do anything. So I haven't taken any course, or I have not hired any person to teach me. I did buy an $850 course from a guy out of California. And bro, I did everything he told me. He gave me 10 DVDs and I burned them up. And I ended up purchasing his company as I thought I was going to get into coaching, but I finally figured out, why would I get into coaching if I could just build a giant portfolio of these homes? So I ended up purchasing that course for $28,000, and I didn't do anything with it. But as if they're interested to hear or to get into this business, if they are able to hear me on this podcast, I used to offer that for $2,000. I give it to them for, I don't charge anything. Just for any person that is able to hear it on here, I would like to give them as much content as possible. I don't help anyone open up businesses, but I will give him a turnkey book that they could have for free if they just promise to put it to use.
That's fantastic. While we're on the subject, and this will normally be my last question, but how do our listeners get in touch with that resource?
The best way to do it is to go online and go to Brandon at BrandonSchwab.com. Just go there, book a time, a thing that I'll do for anyone that got to this point in this call. I will give anyone that calls me up to 30 minutes of time that I feel is the highest thing I could give anybody is time.
Yeah.
So for anyone that has gotten to this point, I'd be happy to just go there and fill out your info, book a time that's good to talk with me. The girl in our office, Ashley, will call you up front to get some base info, and then all of us are able to talk.
Brandon, I've enjoyed this today, man. We've learned so much. I mean, learned about the cash flow possibilities of this, how to build the team. You've talked about some of the challenges, you know, that surround this industry, and also just the nuance of it. I mean, I've heard of it before and have had discussions about it, but probably didn't quite have as firm of an understanding as what you've given here today. I've got one last kind of mechanics question of this, which is, what types of homes does it even take? Because, I mean, if you're buying a $250,000 home in an 800-person town and tripling its value by putting another 550 in it, I guess more than that, so now it's worth $800,000. Like, what type of home do you buy that even makes sense for this?
So I was trying to find a home that could handle 10 people, right? Because for any home that's only about five beds, that's good for people who are going to be be in there every day doing care, because I needed the other people there to offset the overhead costs. So finding a 5,000 foot house on the very first floor only is pretty hard to do, Sam. I found a house that was on the MLS for 500 days because people don't typically try to buy those houses.
Right.
And I offered them to carry back financing. I offered full price and he turned it down, but he took the $250,000 half offer. He took it. So that's how we kind of did it in this business. You can either take homes and turn them into this purpose. You can find those houses for $400,000 to $500,000 typically, or else you can be able to build them, which that's the thing I am able to do today. Part of the fun is I am able to build 12 homes, but that's expensive, man. Like that's hard. Like this first project I'm doing, I have to put down 5.5 down. And that's 30% equity. That's a lot of dough, man. I don't know on you, but I don't have like that type of cash. So I need to partner up with other people. Or the third and final option, which I am also doing this too, is I'm buying existing tired operators, folks that are older. So I maybe have a home or two and COVID really hasn't been that easy on them. Like I am buying those because they're cash flow from the very first day. And I can be able to brand our company asset over them. And then it's instant cash flow. Like all three of those are avenues that I do. I'll tell you, the buying a house and turning it into, that's difficult. I mean, that takes time. It's hard. People get all pissed off when they hear that you are going to be there. So they come out with pitchforks and like it can get ugly. And building takes forever. I mean, it typically takes up to 2 years. So I have done that for 7 years, and I promise you, I've done everything that you can do incorrect two or three times that taught me, because it takes me time, because it's not that bright.
Oh man, that's fantastic. So what you're doing now, you're just building it ground up. Is that the answer I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Remodel is harder than just buying the land and building it ground up. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Brandon, final four questions for you here. The first one is this: what is one tool or resource you find you can't live without?
Podcast, man. I get so much information from elders to continually teach yourself things every single day and to drive your car and just pound out podcasts. I take the time driving and I just learn a ton.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Great answer. If you could help listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
That are new or they are early investors or for all investors?
Anything, whatever comes to top of your mind.
Passive income. Get passive income. Take all of your active income and get the passive income as fast as possible. Your kids and your family are going to thank you for that. And if you keep too busy, you could have other problems back at home. Don't do so like what I did and put in almost 80 hours per week. And I almost blew up a whole family over it. It isn't it worth it.
Yep. Right. That's very good advice. Question number three, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I'm changing the elder industry from big box to a very cozy home because the industry is broken and a caregiver to every 15 to 20 people is utterly it is absolutely terrible and it has to be done better. And our country owes it to take care of the elders. And our country is doing a terrible job at that today because a 200-bed college for the elderly isn't the answer.
That's fabulous. Brandon, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, learn more about you or your fund, what's the best way to do that? The
best way is to go online and go to just my first name, Brandon, and then schwab.com. Pick a time to talk with me, and then Ashley will call you after you book. Please put all your info and put what you're hoping to get out of it too. Okay.
Fabulous. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.